We're going to look at Matthew 28, the end of Matthew 28. So if you've got a Bible, you might want to go there. Now, when I was 16 or 17, I had a job interview on Kotmandeen Crescent to work in a shop. Now, at the time, I lived in Bromley Common, and I had never been to Kotmandeen before. So, no smartphones, I'm that old. So I had to do it the old school way. I had to plan my route, how to get to this place. So I worked out the buses I needed to do, which way I could go. And I think, if I remember correctly, there was two potential buses, which is never a good thing. So I got into my dreadful greeny-coloured suit. It wasn't a good look. I hope there's no pictures of that. And started my journey. Now, the two possible bus routes meant that I took one and I got off at the wrong stop because it started to go the other way and I was like, ah! So I jumped off and I had to run to this interview. And I got to the shop and I was very sweaty. And I was nervous. And the guy who interviewed me told me I wasn't worth £3.50 an hour. It was a sad time, it really was. I wonder if you can remember one of your early job interviews and how you felt. That sense of sweaty palms, dry throat, difficult questions, and uncertainty about whether you'd really explained yourself well enough. Interviews are stressful, but they do tend to get a little bit easier the more you do. And if that's true of interviews, it's definitely true of sharing your faith. I want to encourage you... Well, no, hold on, I'm getting too fast. I want to recognise that there are some people who are just gifted in sharing their faith. Evangelists. The Bible gives it a name. Gifted people. Evangelists. They just find it easy. Martin, I know you're an evangelist. You just want to talk to people about Jesus all the time. Billy Graham, D.L. Moody, George Whitfield, J. John. They seem to just be able to share about their faith very easily. But for many of us, sharing our faith is not an easy thing. We get sweaty hands, a dry throat, worried about the difficult questions we might face, and uncertainty about whether we've explained something well enough. Have you ever spoken about your faith and then for the rest of the day thought, did I really explain that well enough? Could I have said something? I wish I'd said that. I'm sure you have. But like interviews, the more we do it, the easier it gets. And we have to remember, we have an enemy. If he can't get you to deny your faith, he would just love it if you didn't share your faith with others. And God's plan is for a mobilised and equipped people, empowered by the Spirit, God's empowering presence. He wants to use all of us, to make disciples. That's what he calls us to do. So we're going to look at Matthew 28, and just a few verses at the end. So Jesus has died, he's risen, he's appeared to his disciples a number of times. And it says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these verses. Lord, we thank you that you have commissioned us to go and make disciples. Lord, we thank you that you have all authority and you've given us authority to go and make disciples. We thank you that you are with us always. And we ask this morning, Lord, we ask that you would meet with us. Lord, where maybe we find this difficult, Lord, would you meet with us? Would you strengthen and empower us and give us great faith to go out and make disciples in the world around us? We pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. When Jesus says, I am with you always, strange thing, isn't it? Because how's Jesus with us? He's one man. How can he be with us here? And then how can he be in Dicklebeng Church where I was last Sunday? Because he's one person. He's one man. He's got a man's body. Well, this is about the Holy Spirit. This is how Jesus is with us, through the Holy Spirit. And this morning, we're not going to actually unpack this passage. What we're going to do is we're going to go through the book of Acts and see how the believers, empowered by the Spirit, shared their faith and how God used them. And my prayer really is that God will set us free from some of the things that hold us back. That he'll raise our vision and expectation. 100 people responded to the gospel in Clarence. Why can't God do that here? Even now, you're probably thinking, oh, what do I? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I think he wants to fill us afresh with power to be witnesses with those we meet. I've got 4 things I want to draw out this morning. The Holy Spirit equips us for service. This is a Swiss Army knife. It is the most unpractical Swiss Army knife I think I've ever seen. But it's pretty amazing. I can't remember what they called it. It had a special name. It's got like 400 different tools. I don't know how that even fits in your pocket. But the idea is it's about being equipped. It's about being well equipped. And there's a risk that we can compartmentalise church activities from outreach and evangelism. We think, well, we do this, we don't do anything for the older generation here, but some churches we have a ministry for the older generation, we have a ministry for this, we have a ministry for that. And we can think that that's just one of the ways we serve, or even on a Sunday, serving teas and coffees, or saying welcome, or I'm serving the church family. And we can separate and think, well, that's not really outreach, that's not really mission, that's not really making disciples. But the command to go and make disciples covers those who are already part of the church family and following Jesus, as well as those who aren't yet. In Acts 6, there is a disagreement around the food distribution, and that the Greek-speaking widows were being neglected in comparison to the Hebrews. And this was the moment when the apostles realized they needed to appoint others to help enable them to be released to preach the gospel. This was a moment when they realized, actually, we need different gifts within the church to be able to minister to the different needs in the community. If the apostles had suddenly said, well, hold on, we need to sort all this out, then they would have been distracted from the mission that God had called them to. So they appointed, and it says in Acts 6, verse 3, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. That was like the job description. And those who were appointed for this slightly more administrative task were to be full of the Holy Spirit. And this was one of the ways that those 7 were chosen. And they were chosen to help ensure that the mission continued. Sometimes there's a temptation for me to feel that I need to do everything. I need to go and try and visit people. I feel terrible when I think like that, because I think I can't do all of that. But I need to recognise that one of my key roles is to preach and to teach and to equip. That's what my role is, to equip the saints for works of service. If I try and do it all, I rob you of the opportunity of serving and being blessed by serving, but I also rob myself of the opportunity to do the thing that God's called me to do. So it's really important, and these 7 were so key. But they had a vision of, actually, their role was so key to the gospel continuing to go forth. There's a story when JF Kennedy visited the NASA space station in 1962. And whilst walking around, he met a janitor who was carrying a broom. And he asked, you know, "What are you doing?" And he replied, "I'm helping to put a man on the moon, Mr. President." That person saw their part in keeping the floors clean and the toilets and whatever else. They saw their part in the big picture. And I think that's so key for us as a church, that we see our individual roles in part of that big, big picture and big plan. I don't know if anyone, this is pretty old school now, looking at his outfit. Art Attack. Did anyone used to watch Art Attack? What's his name? Neil Buchanan, was it? And he used to, as part of the show, he would create a big picture. But it was made of very tiny things. And when he was doing it, you couldn't really see what he was doing, because he was doing little things on the floor, and you're thinking, what's he going to make? And then it was only as the picture panned out and you could see the big picture, and you think, wow, that's... And you think, I wish I could create something like that in my garden. It was a real skill. But this is what we are doing, all of us. We are all playing our part, doing our little bit in God's mission. And what it will create is a great big picture of what God is doing around the world. But it's when we see our little part in light of the big that we understand, and it keeps us going. It's so key. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. So when you're putting out the chairs on a Sunday morning, or sorting out the accounts, or calling someone from the church family, you're playing your part in God's great purposes. It might feel like quite a mundane thing to be doing, but you're playing your part. I know a few people have helped take Agnes to and from the hospital over the last few months. King's College is not an easy place to get to, but there's been many who have been serving her, serving the church and serving God. And it's such a key role. I recognise many can't, but it's just one of the ways that we serve, and we see that big picture and we play our part. And I want to say thank you to everyone who serves in this church. It just, what we do would not happen without those of you who are serving so faithfully and diligently. It's all about this vision, and I'll share this with those on Tuesday night, that we want to encourage others to experience and respond to God's love. We can't make them, but we can encourage. We can play our part. We want to equip those who respond through commitment to a local church. Maybe this church, or it may be somewhere else, but we want to equip people through commitment to the local church and then empowering them to be a blessing to the community. That's what we're about. And God wants to empower and equip us to from works of service through the Holy Spirit. If you aren't serving at the minute and you think, actually, I want to play my part. I want to do something. You could speak to me, or probably good people to speak to would be Peter and Lynn. Ask them, where can you serve? What can you do? Those who were chosen to serve in Acts 6 were those who also shared their faith. They didn't serve and then think, well, someone else can share their faith. They did both, and we're going to look at Stephen in a few minutes. The Spirit gives us boldness. When Jesus was arrested, the disciples were thrown into panic. Peter, who seemed so bold earlier in the day, denied Jesus three times. He said, "I'll never deny you." And then he denied him as fear took over. Before he received the Spirit, he had a number of encounters with the risen Jesus. And then in Acts 2, the Spirit came upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost, and Peter was transformed. He got up and spoke to the crowd, and he said, "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." He was emboldened by the Holy Spirit. In fact, not long afterwards, Peter and John were arrested in Acts 4. They were arrested. Now, after a brief trial, they were told not to speak about Jesus anymore. When they refused to do this, they were threatened but released anyway. And Peter and the disciples prayed, and in verse 29 it says, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. He didn't say, God, please help that not to happen to us ever again. We don't want to be locked up ever again. He said, God, empower us to be bold to share our faith. Proverbs 29:25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. So easy to be fearful about what others would think. So easy to be worried about what they might say if you said, I'm a Christian, or if you started to share your faith. Worried about rejection, ostracism. And these fears can easily stop us from sharing the good news of Jesus with others. For the disciples, they didn't just face ostracism or rejection. They, like many around the world today, face death. Stephen, who was chosen to serve, helping with the food distribution, was the first martyr of the church. And he spoke with boldness to his Jewish audience in chapter 8, verse 51. There isn't an 8:51. He says this, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. And they stoned him. And Stephen just looked up and he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus and he said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. He was empowered by the Spirit. He's full of boldness to be able to declare people's and expose their hearts. And the Holy Spirit wants to give us boldness and to overcome that fear of man. We have such good news, and it's serious. It's a matter of life and death for people. And God wants to give you boldness to share your faith with those you're going to meet. The people you meet are not going to be the people I meet. They're not going to be the people maybe the person next to you meet. God wants to use each one of us to share our story about Jesus, to see his kingdom come and to see lives changed. Thirdly, the Spirit leads us to unbelievers. The church in Jerusalem were scattered after Stephen's death. They were told that they would be witnesses in ever-growing, increasingly large circles. But they stayed in Jerusalem. And it was as Stephen was martyred that then they were sent out. And they were scattered to the surrounding towns and villages. Philip went up to Samaria and saw signs and wonders. And it says, so that there was much joy in that city. That's Acts 8:8. And then he was led by God to go on a road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. He listened to God and he went there. And then the Spirit said to him, go over and join this chariot. Like a old school car going by. And he was told, go and speak to the person in the chariot. And he went and he followed God's leading and met an Ethiopian eunuch. And this man was reading from the prophet Isaiah, and he had questions which Philip could answer. And the Ethiopian becomes a Christian. He's baptized and continues his journey. And it's thought that that God used this man to share the gospel with Ethiopia. Philip was led. He felt that sense of God speaking to him, and he responded with obedience. If he'd said, oh, don't really want to go down to Gaza, that road, I don't really like that road, he would have missed the opportunity. Or if he'd gone there and said, oh, that chariot, they seem to be going a bit fast, I'm not sure I want to step out of my comfort zone and say hello, he would have missed that opportunity. And I think for us, it's just developing that sensitivity to God's Spirit. And just start to change those habits. If you find it easy to sort of say, oh, I'm not so sure, make a decision today. God, when you speak to me, I'm going to be obedient. I once was obedient to what I felt was God leading me. On a train, I heard this guy talking about having a really bad back. And it was a quiet train, and I walked over. I said to him, look, you know, I'm a pastor. I heard that you've got issues with your back, and I wanted to offer to pray for you. No thanks, mate. I kind of walked back over to us. See, but it was a decision. God, I don't understand that, but I felt led by him. And maybe in years to come, God will speak to that person and say, do you remember when you had a bad back and you refused that? I don't know. I don't know how God will use that. But I felt God speak to me. I was willing to be obedient. And I think it's just making that decision. God, I'm willing to look a fool for you if that's what it is. Because actually, I want to please you, not the people around me. I've got a small video, which hopefully will play. Have we got sound? Let's go back. I've got sound from my end. Ready?
Albert McMakin was a farmer. When he was 24 years old, Albert came to faith in Jesus at a church service in a nearby town. He was so full of excitement and passion that he filled a truck with friends and took them to the next service to hear the gospel as he had. There was a farmer's teenage son who Albert was especially keen to get to the service, but the young man was hard to persuade. He was much too busy falling in and out of love with different girls, so it's safe to say that he wasn't particularly attracted to Christianity. But Albert McMakin had an idea, and he managed to persuade the young guy to come to church by asking him to drive the truck. When they arrived, Albert's guest decided to go in and was, in his own words, spellbound. He went back again and again until one night he went to the front of the meeting to pray and gave his life to Jesus Christ. The year was 1934. Since that day, Albert's guest has spoken in person to over 210 million people about the Christian faith, more than anyone else in human history. He has become the friend and confidant of 10 American presidents and has spoken about Jesus to almost half the world's population by radio and TV. The man's name is Billy Graham.
Thank you, Alpha, for that little clip. But you never know how your small little step of faith may change someone's life. No one knows of Albert McMakin or whatever his name is. No one knows his name. But he was willing to step across the room and willing to share his faith with someone and invite them to a meeting. You might not feel you can share your faith, but invite them to the Good Friday service. You might think, actually, I could do that. I could invite someone. Or I could invite them when I've got some Christian friends coming over. Who knows what God may do with your small little step of faith and the amount of people who responded to Billy Graham over the years just because that one person said, actually, God, I believe you're leading me towards this person. I'm gonna play my part. Final thing, the Holy Spirit brings freedom. If you've never read the book of Acts, can I encourage you to do so? It is an amazing read. It is powerful. It is inspiring. It's an account of what God did through the early church. It's written by Luke, who wrote Luke's gospel. And he spoke to eyewitnesses. And he wanted to write an account of Jesus' life and an account of what continued to happen after Jesus had ascended to heaven. And Luke tells of those who were healed, the lame beggar in chapter 3. He tells us of many signs and wonders in Acts 5. Dorcas being raised from the dead in Acts 9. And there are many more. Many people were set free and became followers of Jesus. Anyone watch Prison Break? It's a bit of a classic. But God breaks Paul and Silas out of prison. They were in jail. They were locked up because they were sharing their faith, because they were talking about Jesus. They were locked up and they're released from prison. And what happens is on their way out, they also release the jailer who was stuck in the prison of sin and death. And they pray and his whole family become Christians. But God also brings freedom to those held captive by the demonic. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas release a slave girl from a spirit of divination which her owners used to make money. She was being exploited, and she experienced freedom from the powers of evil, and her owners weren't happy. And that's how Paul and Silas end up in prison. In Acts 19, God was doing amazing things through Paul. He was healing the sick through handkerchiefs that he had touched. And more people were being released from evil spirits. And a group of travelling Jewish exorcists tried to copy Paul's methods. They obviously watched and thought, we could do a bit of this. But they didn't have the spirit inside of them, and they were overpowered by a man, and they had to flee the house naked. But the result was that fear of the Lord fell upon the people, and Jesus' name was honoured. And in many towns, people came, and those who practiced magic burned their books. And the Holy Spirit brings freedom from the powers of evil and darkness. And God wants to empower his people to bring freedom to those we meet. The freedom is available to anyone. We did a couple of years ago, we did the Freedom in Christ course. Freedom is available to anyone who repents and believes in Jesus. If you've had stuff in your past that you know wasn't good, you can experience true freedom in Christ. Sometimes it takes time to pray and to talk it through and to renounce some of the things that you've been involved in. But God wants to bring freedom to us all. Freedom. It's a free gift. Our faith is a free gift, but requires wholehearted commitment. Choosing to trust God is the best way. And what being a Christian about is about following Jesus. When we look at these things, we're not looking at something different to what Jesus did. Jesus served the crowds as he taught them. He fed them. He served his disciples as he washed their feet. And he was led by the Spirit and only did what his Father was doing. He spoke words of life with boldness to the religious authorities, the crowds, and those whose lives were amiss. And he brought freedom to many who were bound up by evil spirits, alienated through sickness, and stuck in destructive, sinful lifestyles. We follow him. And as we follow him, he wants to lead us to do the things that he did. This is John. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. That's what God's got for you. That's what God's got for you. And whether you've got a little faith or a lot of faith, God wants to use you to do the things that Jesus did in the community, in the world, with those who don't know him. How are we going to do that? Through the power of the Spirit. We haven't got power in ourselves to do this. We need his Holy Spirit. And as we were reminded, we need to ask God to fill us day by day. God, I'm weak. I don't have the confidence to speak to that person. Would you fill me and help me and lead me? And that's what we pray. Father, we thank you for your great plan. Before you created the world, that you wanted to redeem a people for yourself. You wanted a people for yourself. And we thank you, Lord, for the way that you have worked that plan out. We read through the Bible about this great plan of yours to create and redeem a people for yourself. Lord, we thank you for the way that you sent Jesus to die on the cross. Lord, thank you that in him our sins have been forgiven, that he has taken the wrath of God and removed our uncleanliness. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus, and we thank you that we've been added to this people who are here in this room, but who also span the globe and span the ages. Lord, we're part of your people. We've been bought with a price. And Lord, we recognise that there's others in this city. Lord, there's others in this town. There's others in this world who are part of your people, who you're going to rescue and restore and redeem. And Lord, we ask that you would Empower us by your Spirit to speak the truth, to share you with others. Lord, help us to rely on you, not our own strength, to serve you. Lord, help us to rely on that power of the Spirit to be able to be used for your purposes. Lord, lead us to those who don't know you. Lord, even as we go about our daily lives, Lord, we pray that we would have that sensitivity to your Spirit to hear when you're leading us, when you're taking us across the room, when you're wanting us to go and talk to someone. Lord, please help us to hear your voice and respond in faith. Lord, we pray for boldness. Lord, we pray for freedom from the fear of man. Lord, it's so easy to be concerned about what others think, but Lord, we want to please you. We want to please you, and we ask that you would give us boldness. Lord, I pray for those in this room who know just so fearful of what other people think. I pray in the name of Jesus, would you release that? Lord, would you release people from the fear of man? I pray. I want to pray that we would see many people set free. Lord, we meet different people. We meet different people with different challenges, and some seem so bound by destructive lifestyles, by addiction, by the enemy. And Lord, we ask that we would see many people set free to love and to serve you, to experience that great freedom that is found in Jesus. And we pray this because we want to see the name of Jesus lifted high. We want to see Jesus honoured in this place, across the nations of the world. We want his name to be honoured and known. And we pray, would you use us in your great purposes to make the name of Jesus known on the Ramsden and in our workplaces and with our families. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.